Revelation 1 and verse 9. I hope you all remember about most of the things about the book of Revelation that we brought up before. And just remember that you as a church, you don't have any part of it. But it's good to know, and that's what people want to know, and that's what we ought to teach. That's what we ought to tell people. Or tell them what they want to know. If they want to know who the Antichrist is, we ought to tell them. If they want to know who what the mark of the beast is, we ought to tell them. It's not a secret. All this stuff is not secret. People just think it is. You know, and like I said, Paul said in 2 Timothy 2:7, he said, consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. And if that verse ain't true, we need to take it out of the book and get rid of it. But it is true. The only problem we have, we're too lazy to study. And we don't want to open this book up. And when it comes to the book of Revelation, you don't want to open it up because it tells you some things that's going to happen that you don't want to hear. Because you think you're going to be there. And let me tell you something. If you're lost today, that's where you're going to be. If you're a lost person today, and the rapture of the church takes place today, you're going to be left. And you know what you're going to do? You're going to believe a lie. You're going to believe that guy rides in on a white horse that you've been hearing them preachers on TV preach about. You think that that's him. But he's not. And he's going to deceive you just like he does everybody else. Revelation 1, verse 9. And I, John, who also am your brothers and companion in tribulation, in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle called Patmos for the word of God and for a testimony of Jesus Christ. Evidently, John was on the isle of Patmos for the word of God, for the testimony. And evidently, this is where John gets this revelation. Revelation 1 and verse 10. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And what thou sawest, write in the book and send it to the seven churches which are in Asia. Now he lists seven churches there. Unto Ephesus, unto Smyrna, unto Pergamos, unto Thyatira, unto Sardis, unto Philadelphia, unto Laodicea. Now, evidently they were liberal seven churches in Asia at that time. But unfortunately, what people has told us that they were liberal churches during John's day, but they don't have any record of it. So they don't know for sure. They don't know for sure. So we don't know for sure. But what we do know is that these churches are going to be in the tribulation period. And God's going to set them up. And how do I know that these churches are going to be in the tribulation period? It's very simple. If you read chapter 2 and chapter 3, they are angels put over each of these churches. God's not using angels today. So it's got to be a future event. I can tell you for sure that we don't have an angel here. I ain't never seen that. Tony don't even have wings.
He has a feet.
Huh?
I said, Heather will tell you he ain't no angels.
Oh, well, that's right. Heather could tell me that. But we don't have angels. God's not using angels. And guess what? The devil's not using angels either. You know what the devil is using? 2 Corinthians chapter 12. The devil himself has been transformed into an angel of light. And his ministers are ministers of righteousness. You know where his ministers are at? You know what they're preaching today? Well, turn on your TV some Sunday morning when you ain't doing nothing. When you decide to lay out of church, just turn on your TV and watch one of them jokers. See, I call them a joker because that's what they are. The only thing they want is, they say, now, brothers and sisters, if you send me your money, I can get the gospel out into all the world and the end will come. That's what they're preaching. They're saying, you can be good in yourself. You can be good enough to get there. You just got to give it a chance. You got to give it effort. That's self-righteousness. That's what the devil's using. Those guys are ministers of Satan. How do I know? Here's how I know. When you hear a man preach, if he adds to the gospel of the grace of God, my Bible says that he's got the curse of God on it. And that's what Paul wrote to the church at Galatia. In Galatians chapter 1, Paul said, even an angel from heaven preach any other gospel than what we preach unto you, or let him be accursed. If a man stands up before you and preaches anything but the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ for your salvation, he has got the curse of God on him. And that's the God's truth. If you hear one preach the gospel of the kingdom, he's not preaching the right gospel. The one that Peter preached, the one that the 12 preached, repent, the kingdom of heaven's at hand. See, that's a lie. It was true then, but it's not today. You can't listen to that stuff. They'll send you to hell if you do. If you believe that and believe what they're telling. See, that's what the devil's doing. He is deceiving people. Deceiving people. Turn them on. Listen to them. See if I'm not telling you the truth. I've listened to those guys. I never heard the gospel or saved anybody. And it makes me sick to listen to them. And me, they got... You talk about crowds. Well, this little bunch here wouldn't even fill the closet in one of them churches. But what about it? Are they getting anything out of it? Well, it makes them feel good. When they play that upbeat music, they all jump, don't they? See, if we had a little rock music up here, well, you guys would be hopping right now. You wouldn't be sitting still. I guarantee you, your foot would be jumping. But we ain't got it. I don't know when Tony's going to get it, but he might one day. But he said, I was in the Spirit, verse 10, on the Lord's day, and heard behind me a great voice as a trumpet. Now, when you see in your Bible, it's two or three times in there, and I'm not going to turn and read it, but Revelation 4:1, he was in the Spirit, he gets caught up. Revelation 17, he was in the Spirit, he gets caught up. Now, think about this. When you see the word in the Spirit, it don't mean that you are hollering and jumping. In John's case, it means that he was caught up. And that's exactly where he was. Remember now, he's laying physically in the body. He's laying on the Isle of Patmos. That's where he was at. But in the Spirit, he gets caught up above, and he gets caught up in the throne room, And he gets to see not only what's going on in the throne room, but what's going on the earth. But he's not looking down on us today. He was ahead of us. He was in the tribulation period. He was on the Lord's day. And by the way, the Lord's day, and I've told you all this before, that is not Sunday. Mark that down in your head. Today is not the Lord's day. If today was the Lord's day, you know what would be going on? There'd be the wrath of God going on, exactly what would be going on. And these silly people think that they can make people believe that Sunday is a holy day by telling you that it's the Lord's day. And you can't do nothing on the Lord's day. Well, my mama wouldn't let me even wash the car on the Lord's day. What she thought was the Lord's day. And I was too dumb to not understand that. Sunday ain't got anything to do with anything. I'll tell you, you know what Sunday is? First day of the week. Well, what about that? The first day of the week, Sunday, not Monday. Somebody messed this thing up quite a while ago, and it was probably the first pope that did that. I don't know. By the way, I don't know who the first pope was. They say it was Peter. If that's true, Peter had a mother-in-law. And if Peter had a mother-in-law, well, guess what he had to have? He had to have a wife, so the first pope was married. And where they come up with this stuff about them can't get married. You know what that is? My Bible says that's the doctrines of devils. You read that in 2 Timothy 4. Doctrines of devils. But we eat this stuff up. So he tells them to write to these seven churches. And by the way, let me just give you some stuff that I learned on this. And I don't try to understand Greek and Hebrew because I don't understand English too good. You know, I went to Wallen High School. They didn't teach English up there. They taught hillbilly. That's what they taught. I'm not sure them teachers knew English real good. But what I'm telling you is that in the Hebrew, they don't have the Hebrew language don't have apostrophes. Apostrophe S to show possession, like the English language does. Now the Greek language, when they translate it from the Greek into English, they could put apostrophe in it. But when they translate it from the Hebrew, they couldn't use it because they don't have it. And the Lord's Day in the Old Testament is called the Day of the Lord. That's how they had to translate it over there. So there's your explanation of that. If you want to know, let me just read you Zephaniah 1 and verse 15. That day is a day of wrath, a day of trouble and distress, a day of wastefulness, and a day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness. Boy, that don't sound like Sunday to me. That's what the Lord's day is. The Lord's day is when he's going to get what's coming to him. And when he comes back on that white horse to the earth, I use a term that everybody around here uses, he will not be a happy camper. He's got a rod in his hand, and he's coming to judge and make war. He's not this little meek guy on a donkey. Now, then his clothes are going to be dipped in blood. It's not going to be a pleasant time. And you better not be left, because that's what you're going to be looking forward to. So John is told to write it in a book. Write it in a book. So that's what he's doing here. I'm not going to give you the names of these, what each one of these churches' names mean. That could help you out. I don't know where it would or not, but it's not a very important thing to me. But Revelation 1:12, "And I turned to see the voice that spake with me. And being turned, I saw a golden candlestick." Old John, when he heard this voice, he had to turn and look to see where that voice was coming from. Old John was a little bit curious. He wanted to know where that was. But boy, did he get a surprise. And the voice was like a trumpet. You remember what it says over in 1 Thessalonians 4 when he's talking about the coming of the Lord to take the church out? And the voice of the trumpet. See, right there is your trumpet. It's not a trumpet judgment, but it is the voice of a trumpet. You know, in the military, they blew a trumpet for charge. See, that's the voice of a trumpet. They also blew a trumpet for retreat. That's the voice of a trumpet. And that voice is telling you something. So John hears this voice, and he turns around, and here's what he sees. "And I turned to see the voice that spake me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks." Now you say, what in the world is candlesticks doing? Well, if we read on here a little bit, and we're going to find out what the candlesticks are. Verse 13, "And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, girt about the paps with a golden girdle." Now, in the midst of those seven candlesticks, you had one like the Son of Man. And he was clothed, and it says that he was clothed with a garment all the way down to the foot. And he was girt about. He was girt about here with a golden girdle. Verse 14, "In his head and his hair were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire." His hair was white as snow. Does that look like that Jesus Christ was upon the earth? Don't look like that at all, does it? You see, what John is seeing the glorified Almighty God, what He looks like. See, God's a spirit. But here, Jesus Christ appears to John in His glorified body. And he's got a head white as snow. And his feet like fine brass. His eyes were a flame of fire. And we had a message here maybe a year ago, I don't remember when, but those eyes, that flaming fire of eyes, you know what? That's going to be used for judgment. One of these days, those eyes are going to look at you and he's going to judge you. He's not going to judge you for sin, but he's going to judge you for what you've done in the body, whether it be good or bad. And you're either going to get a reward or you're not. And all your works are going to be burned up if you haven't done anything. But that's the judgment seat of Christ. And his feet like fine brass, if they were burned in a furnace. And his voice is the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand 7 stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword. And his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. So John gets to see this glorified Christ. And he's coming, by the way, as a lion of the tribe of Judah. If you want to know what Jesus Christ looked like when he was up on the earth, he don't look like that picture we have on the wall of some long-haired hippie that they painted back a few centuries ago. That's not him at all. You need to read. Everybody know what SOS is? Well, in the Bible, SOS is abbreviation for Song of Solomon. Song of Solomon, if you want to mark it down and read this and find out what Jesus Christ looked like when he was up on the earth, you can do that. It's chapter 5 and read verse 10 through 15. Tell you exactly what he looked like. And he don't look like that picture that we have on the front of our Bible, our family Bible. I got one at the house. When I found out what it looked like, I put the thing up. Nobody read it anyhow. Might as well put it up. But he don't look like that. See, that's the imagination of somebody. It's not. By the way, they didn't have Polaroids back then. All you got to do is go to John chapter 3, and when old Nicodemus comes to him, what do you call him? Said, Rabbi. Well, guess what he looked like? He looked like a rabbi. If you want to know what a rabbi is, well, go to one of these synagogues and look that one up. See what they look like. Yeah, I know. Revelation 1:17, and when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying, Fear not, I am the first and the last. 18, I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. See, that's who he is. And that's who he's going to be. He's alive forevermore. And he's coming again to judge and make war. So, John here in verse 19, write the things which I have seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. Now, if you read many commentaries, you're going to get a different interpretation of this. So I'm not going to go in there. I don't have much time left, and I want to finish one. Chapter 1 through 4, you're going to have, 1 through 3, really, maybe even into 4 and 5, the things he has seen. When he gets caught up, he gets to see the throne room. He gets to see on earth. Actually, he gets to see the whole picture of it. He gives you that in chapter 1. The things of the tribulation period is Revelation 6, when the white horse rider rides in, all the way through to 19, when the Lord comes back. He gets to see that. He gets to see that. The things in the tribulation period. and the things which shall be hereafter, that's Revelation 20 through 22. That's beyond the kingdom, beyond the earthly kingdom. That's a new heaven and a new earth. It's the things that will be hereafter. Now, Revelation 1:20, the mystery of the seven stars, which I saw is in the right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks. Here's what they mean. The seven stars are seven angels of the seven churches. Now, when you read that and read about the stars, what are they? They're seven angels. Now, the seven candlesticks, what are they? The churches. Now, see, that's not too hard to figure out, is it? The seven candlesticks which I saw are the seven churches. So, the book of Revelation is a self-interpreting book. You don't have to be a scholar to understand it. All you got to do is read it, believe it, and you can understand. Don't try to make it say something it don't. And don't read the newspaper today and try to put that in it. Because the newspaper today is not going to tell you anything. But what's going on in the world today? And what's going on in the world today is not going on in the book of Revelation. Okay.